Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Addison slot right, Jefferson outside of him. First and 10 from the Green Bay 18. The Vikings are chewing on the clock here in the third quarter. Play action, and Sam throws to the right, throws to Addison, caught, touchdown! Jordan Addison with his ninth receiving touchdown this year. The Vikings have a 19-3 lead.
Who else? The voice of Paul Allen, Vikings play-by-play. He's been with the team. He's been the voice of the team. He has lived and died with this team. And now, looky, looky, Perloff, we get a Week 18 Vikings-Lions, not only for the number one seed in the NFC, most importantly, also for the division. I mean, you cannot write it any better. And Paul Allen is good enough to join us now. Paul, Perloff, and Maggie here, thanks so much for the time. How do you prepare for a big game like this?
With the hopes of not destroying this camera angle, it involves a lot of these. It involves depth charts from playing the Lions the first time, the most recent game against Green Bay, and then starting to get this bad boy together for this weekend, and going to practice, and seeing if the Vikings have any tricks up their sleeves to maybe counter the old stumble bum, or fumble rooski, or Penesul on a jet sweep, and the right tackle's going to throw the ball. So it's just putting in a lot of time, but you know what? It's an absolute joy to be around the facility pretty much 5-6 days a week at this stage of the season with so much at stake Sunday night.
Paul, did you have any idea that you'd be coming into Week 18 with a game meaning this against the Lions, the entire conference on the line? Did you see it coming?
Well, I can't say that I did. I mean, it's into the season doing what we do, specifically, in an individual market like this, doing a radio show on KFAN, people have expectations for people to make record predictions because it's fun. And I generally have no problem making record predictions. I couldn't come up with a number this year, but what I knew, for anybody who was interested, I would look at the team at organized team activities. First time I got, I put my eyes on Darnold or Aaron Jones, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jonathan Grenard, Blake Cashman, and so on. Where I'd called games with those guys in them, but I'd never really seen them up close and personally like that. And then we got through training camp and the joint practices at Cleveland, and we're set to play the Giants in week one. And I would tell people, for what it's worth, in all my years doing this, I think I know what a playoff team looks like, and I think I know what a non-playoff team looks like. So I don't know if this is a 9-win playoff team or if it's a 15-win playoff team, but I was quite confident the team would make the playoffs.
Well, one win on Sunday night, you'd be right on the ladder. There are 14 wins right now, twin records with the Lions, 14-2. And Paul Allen's joining us, Vikings play-by-play and radio host, I should mention, as well. You mentioned about the crazy trick plays that the Lions pull out, Paul. And Perloff always says they're hurting themselves doing this because they don't need all that trickery. They could beat anyone straight up. Do you think Kevin O'Connell, the Vikings head coach, feels like he needs to match the Lions in their creativity offensively, or does he feel like he can play more of a, I don't say vanilla when you've got Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, but do you think he feels like he can play this thing a little more straight up?
Well, I mean, it's, simply because you don't offer tricks doesn't mean you don't have treats. In other words, Sam Darnold and Jared Goff have the exact same amount of completed passes down the field of 20 yards or more. I think that number's like 60. So I guess it doesn't really matter how you get to the winner's circle as long as you get there and everybody's getting their picture taken. So, over the course of the season, we've had Justin Jefferson throw a pass. There was a play with a backup running back, Ty Chandler. He was going to throw a pass, but it didn't work. Our punter, Ryan Wright, threw a pass a couple of years ago. They have a bevy of tricks, but I don't, You know, I don't look at this in any way as a shoe size contest between O'Connell and Ben Johnson. Now, Ben Johnson versus Vikings defensive coordinator Brian Flores, I mean, that's a heavyweight battle matching wits. And they're both they both probably want head coaching jobs in the very near future. So, you know, Sunday night to a certain extent has a little bit of resume tape to it, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So what did you learn in the first matchup that you think applies to this game? I think both Darnold and Goff were pretty darn good.
Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is unbelievable. I mean, I've called three of his games now. I think he scored against us every time. He had two touchdowns at U.S. Bank Stadium week 7, and that was with David Montgomery. So deep diving what they're doing with Gibbs and Craig Reynolds and some other things that they're doing without Montgomery. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is just a supreme problem. Now, you know, there are ways and situations you can put him in that potentially compromises his effectiveness. But can you do that over the totality of a game? So the longest run the Vikings have given up this year is 45 yards. It went to Jahmyr Gibbs. It was a touchdown, and the run defense here has been super sound all season. But Detroit's just super organized, just a very organized team, able to overcome the adversity of all of these injuries. They're going to get Alex Anzalone back this week. That's going to help them a lot. But it's just two of the most organized, responsible, efficient teams in the NFL with absolutely two of the best coaching staffs in the NFL.
Paul Allen's joining us, Vikings play-by-play radio host in Minnesota, who is going to be on the call, obviously, Sunday night. Winner take all for the NFC, that number one seed, the bye, all the fruits that go with that. And then also, obviously, the division two. Paul, for the people out there, and I'll raise my hand. It's not that I'm not a Darnold disbeliever. And it's not that I'm not a hater, that's for sure. He's impossible to hate against. The guy's a feel-good story, how he's resurrected his career. The Jets did him no favors early in his career. I just want to see more. For people like me who have not been fully convinced yet that this is the real Sam Darnold, what would you say to someone like me?
Well, I mean, what do you want to see? You know, he's the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to win 14 games with a new team. He has 35 touchdown passes that, you know, as we go here, Brett Favre in 2009 in his first season with the Vikings threw 33, Sam's thrown 35. And his maneuverability is coy. He's very adroit when it comes to getting into the right play. You know, I think one of the real underrated things with Sam is the plays he's making, you know, putting Jefferson on all those touchdowns. Addison has never looked better in his 2 years, and so on, is the things that he's not doing. It's, you know, When the Vikings went to Jacksonville, middle of the season, all right, Sam tried to force the ball to Justin Jefferson 3 times, and they were picked off each and every time. In fact, he had 4 interceptions in that game, but the one to Ronald Darby was nullified because of a penalty. Then the team goes to Tennessee the next week, and there were just a couple of head-scratchers trying to force it to Jefferson, and it didn't work. And then they go to Soldier Field. All right, that's kind of where it all came together, because Jefferson was put in a double, triple, and quadruple team vice. He only had 2 catches, a 20-yarder in overtime that they needed like they needed to breathe, but only 2 catches for Justin Jefferson. But in that game, Jordan Addison went for 169, T.J. Hockenson went for 114, 109 in the second half, and Aaron Jones ran for more than 100. All right, so now it's the pick your poison legitimately. And what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to continue to triple 18? Well, look what Addison can do to you, and look what Hockenson and Jones can do to you. And now you got Jalen Naylor with 6 touchdowns. So it's not exactly an embarrassment of riches here, but Sam has a lot of options to whom he can throw. And from that Jacksonville game to where we are now, he's just improved every single week. And, you know, really the plays he's not making, the bad plays, those have been signature moments.
Paul, I mean, I know you're focused on Sunday, but reports starting to leak out about the future of Sam Darnold. What do you think the temperature in the building is right now about what do we do this offseason when Sam Darnold becomes a free agent?
I mean, running a business like this, you just have to know that they have an idea of what they want to do. you know, being around there and taking in practice and doing radio shows and Vikings entertainment work and stuff as kind of a hired gun for the Minnesota Vikings, that's the last question I'm going to ask. It's a complete buzzkill. It's an absolute buzzkill in a 14-2 production. So, you know, it's not like, and you know, with me doing a radio show, you know, I get peppered with it quite a bit. You know, are they going to franchise him? Are they going to franchise him and tag him? Are they going to give him a ballyhoo deal? What are they going to do? Is somebody going to come after him? Are you going to get massive assets? I mean, I hear it all the time. But when you walk into Twin Cities Orthopedics Performance Center to a person, there's not one equipment person, media relations, medical person who like comes up, taps.
We lost you. You're
hopefully
back.
That's what happens to the Lions offense in the fourth quarter on Sunday night. To a person, not one person, you know, ever brings it up within the facility. It's just not the right time to talk about it, you know?
Paul, I understand that, but what about the J.J. McCarthy of it all? You know, we obviously know that he had the meniscus tear. Did we just lose? We lose him? Lost him? E.J. Manny, I'm getting a massive thumbs down. Oh, wait, I think Paul might be back. Paul, if I get it, why people in the facility may not want to be talking about this. You have a 14-win season. You've got the NFC is right here. You control it. If you win this game on Sunday, you get the number one seed. For the rest of us who are very interested where these dominoes could fall, we're interested in it. Paul, we got you back. Paul Allen joining us. Yeah. Who's Vikings play-by-play.
Maggie.
Just for another minute. The J.J.
But with that Darnold comment you made, I would just like to know why you can't get on board.
So a couple things. One, I watch Kirk Cousins also have a lot of success here, right? And Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, so it's not against him. I'm wondering if, you know, and this is not against Sam, if you put him on another team, though, is he look this way? And to be honest, you could tell me who cares because he's on this team now. But while the Vikings,
well, that's the answer.
Well, I think that's
the answer. You're not trying to run double moves to Robbie Anderson, Ian Thomas, and Chris Herndon. I mean, you got Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, and Aaron Jones here. It's that was the one thing that kind of bugged me into the season, where it's too many people were going back to the Jets and Carolina days with Sam. Well, that's just unfair. I mean, it's because the talent here and the coaching staff here is completely different than anything for whom he's played when he played. Now, I mean, that year he got in San Francisco to sit back and watch it, that was a very important year. And you know who's getting one of those right now? Daniel Jones. So it's like, you know, we got Daniel Jones on our practice squad. People are like, okay, we're happy for you. Really? All right. Well, you know, I think O'Connell and his staff get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to these reclamation projects. So, like, if Darnold's here or if he's not here, if McCarthy starts or if he doesn't start, and Jones gets an opportunity, O'Connell and his staff get the benefit of the doubt. They've earned that. I mean, they got passing touchdowns out of Josh Dobbs last year. Now, that thing had an expiration date when we went to Vegas, and he threw a hospital ball to Justin Jefferson, and that was it.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, this coaching staff is high, high end. I would be actually surprised if Kevin O'Connell does not win Coach of the Year. And he gets the benefit of the doubt with players like Daniel Jones and resurrecting careers and turning reclamation projects into monsters like he's done with like he and they have done with Darnold. So
I guess
things are really good here.
No, it's great. And it's awesome for the Vikings. And I agree with you about Kevin O'Connell. I guess I just see it this way, right? I'm not putting myself in the Viking shoes necessarily when I'm saying,
I know what you mean,
how much more I want to see from Darnold. He's going to be one of the hottest names out there. And we know these quarterback salaries, Paul, are getting insane. Is he actually done enough to warrant, you know, someone plunking down $200 million to make Sam Darnold their futures? And that's really where I'm coming from.
I don't know about 200, and I feel you on what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, Sunday night, if Sam comes out and goes 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, I'm going to be honest with you, I'll be dead shocked. I mean, absolutely shocked. Yeah. It doesn't mean everything has to be 3 touchdowns, 289, and no interceptions with 1 sack. You know, the Lions and other teams at this stage of the season get to make plays too. But Sam has earned himself a bountiful payday, and the general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, has done a wonderful job on two levels. We have 5 quarterbacks here, and outside of Brett Rypien, I think people have heard of most of them, you know, from a pretty significant standpoint. Secondly, the general manager, by not paying a quarterback an exponential amount of money, Well, you're able to fortify with 14 free agents, and most, if not all of them, have helped. And some are going to the Pro Bowl. So there's just been a switch and kind of a flip with how they're running things here from a free agency and a draft standpoint. And it's really, really working at a high level.
Paul, when you got cut off, Maggie was asking about what's J.J. McCarthy like around the facility right now? Is he limping? The J.J. McCarthy of it all is very confusing for people who are not in Minnesota, because he looks like right. this great prospect who's sitting behind this relevant revelation in Sam Darnold.
Well, he is. I mean, he is a great prospect. And the truncated time that we got to see him, it looked good. So he rides around in the scooter in the facility quite a bit. He's in all the quarterback and offensive meetings. He participates quite significantly. And JJ will play when it's time for McCarthy to play. But right now, this is Sam Darnold's team. This is Sam Darnold's moment. And that moment they had in the locker room after the last game that kind of blew up a little bit on social media, where they elevated him and they're throwing water on him. It was kind of like, he's a jolly good fellow and he's a jolly good fellow. And to look at Sam's face, you know, because I know Sam, but I don't know him as well as I know some other players, you know, because it all kind of started, at least with me, my type. He was kind of distant and quiet and just kind of looking around to figure things out. But because he's just taken it on the chin for so many years, being a first-round pick, everybody said sucked. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's atop the heap, and a lot of people want to be next to him and kind of tug on his garment and get interviews and stuff like that. I mean, that's eye-opening, and you got to be careful, you know, with whom you're interacting during situations like that. But to see Sam really come out into his own skin and into his own personality and be himself during the course of the season, those are things that I really, really enjoy about this job. Every bit as much as saying, touchdown, Vikings.
We love that. Paul Allen is the Vikings play-by-play, also radio host in Minnesota. Have a great time. Have fun. This is why we do this stuff, Paul, for games like you're going to get to call on Sunday night, Vikings-Lions, for the whole NFC enchilada. Thank you.
Yep, that's sweet. Good luck to you guys. Let's do this more often if the Vikings advance, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much. Yeah. And yeah, the number one overall seed in the NFC is on the line here in this game. Perloff, it doesn't get any bigger.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I was actually thinking, Paul asked you, like, what do you need to see from Sam Darnold? I'm like, well, you know, two parades in Minnesota, like two Super Bowls in, like Maggie be like, yeah, I just don't see it with this guy. I totally agree with Paul. I mean, that Jets situation. I'm telling you, you prorate Sam Darnold's Jets stats, and he was basically a Pro Bowler, because you have to put the Jets filter in Pro Football yes. Reference. And even in Carolina, he had a couple moments. So he definitely, it's really interesting. He said Daniel Jones is the guy who's having that season now, getting to watch.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was going to utter the words Carson Wentz.
Ooh,
having the Sam Darnold sap in San Francisco. Carson Wentz is sitting this year in Kansas City. I didn't feel like Carson Wentz is clearly next year's Sam Darnold.
He might be a future and thus former Jets quarterback.
Well, no,
I believe that.
But
have worn a Jets uniform before this is all said and done.
Sam Darnold, like going, he could go to a good team and be good. I'm saying, like, Carson Wentz could go to a good offensive coach and be really good, like right. in the right spot. Jets, no. If he goes to Jets, then yeah.
I think there's the one thing about, Darnold's obviously having a spectacular glow up right now. But the one thing about that really helps his case for the Jets, not just that it's the Jets, and so lots of quarterbacks go there and fail, but think about it. And EJ, I think I'm right about this. You're our diehard Jets fan around here. Nobody who was coaching him, I don't think, is even working in the league anymore.
I don't think so. Yeah, so, I feel like I looked at that staff recently.
Adam Gase, obviously, was his head coach who's gone, and I think Jeremy Bates was his offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
he's in college.
Done. Yeah, not in
the
NFL.
I don't think anyone who was around him
at
the Jets, I don't think is working anymore.
He only had Gase in New York?
Think so. Yeah, I think that was... He didn't have Sala, so...
Or Bowles.
He might have had Bowles year one.
He might have Bowles the first year.
Yeah, then he had Gase.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So, but Bowles, at least, is likely going to the playoffs this year.
No,
defensive side, though.
Right, Bowles, yeah, that's a good point. But actually, Baker looks amazing this year. So that is a good point. But obviously, Sam Darnold was we all agree he was in tough spot on that particular Jets offense. So I just think, you know, we were talking earlier about Kirk Cousins and Kevin Stefanski. The marriage of quarterback and coach is a huge deal. It's always a big deal.
There's another part, too, about Darnold, which is very much not of the now. And I know he just was in the draft in 2018, so it wasn't that long ago. But Sam Darnold is still not 30 yet, right?
He's 27.
He was so young when he came out. Yeah. That just isn't going to happen now. Nowadays, all the quarterbacks are 23 and 25. And Darnold was super young when he got to the draft.
Okay, I'm being naive here, but like, what's the upside of J.J. McCarthy? Like, it's not, I feel like Darnold, as a prospect, has more upside than J.J. McCarthy. Like, I know they spent a top 10 pick on J.J. McCarthy, but if I'm the Vikings, I'll say it right now, I sign Sam Darnold. Like, I know you can tag him, and that's probably what's going to happen, but I'd commit to Darnold. Because I think, like, Darnold's more mobile than McCarthy. Well, he's not more mobile, but he's just like, if you put those two guys in the draft, who would you take? Just like based on like pure skill. I mean, obviously.
Well, it's not fair. Sam Darnold has been in the league now for 7 years. Six years.
Well, no. But I mean, no. Say they were the same age and the same prospects. Darnold's bigger. He's got a bigger arm. He's almost as fast. Like, he's a, you know, physically, like, Sam Darnold can do it all. And J.J. McCarthy is good, but he's not overwhelming. So I think that Sam Darnold, like, might be the long term answer there.
Yeah, I think that's really hard to do.
It's just like J.J. McCarthy is like, what's his deal? He's just like the most cerebral professional. I don't even know, like, what's awesome about J.J. McCarthy? Like,
here's the thing, though. I understand where Paul Allen's coming from, yeah, that no one in the building wants to talk about what is going to be laying here at the end of the season. But to be honest, like, this is it's either going to be an amazing opportunity for the Vikings. Like, this is not all a negative. Either you can tag Darnold and trade him, you can get assets for him, or you can end up shopping J.J. McCarthy if you don't think that he's the future, and you could his stock is still going to be high. I'm sure other teams were scouting him, and there's no quarterbacks basically in this draft. So I don't know why it's looked at as such a negative. It's only a negative if you botch it, you know, if you maximize this opportunity, and if Darnold is the real thing and you go with him, and then you maximize J.J. McCarthy as a backup or as a trade piece, like, this is not necessarily negative to talk about what the future holds.
Well, it's negative in the sense that you are going to have to make a tough decision on one of these two guys.
Like, right, but that's the job. That's why, yeah, that's why the general manager exists.
It'd be negative if they commit to Sam Darnold. That means you blew a top 10 pick. And if you commit to J.J. McCarthy, that means you're taking a gigantic risk by letting a Pro Bowl quarterback walk.
Coming up, guys getting a little too honest as the season is ending. And Nick Kostos joins us later in the hour to win you some money. M&P.
Oh, man.
This was the number one song the year I was born.
Can I just say something funny? Like, there's this promo that made the rounds on social media over the last week where CBS's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are saying Gen Z things. And I think, Maggie, you're just like, oh, like this thing. And then I think you're on the wrong gen. I think you're a couple gens back on the new hip phrases.
All right. Well, that was said in confidence, but now that it's made it onto the air.
I think that I am the expert in the room and Andrew Bogus because we have 14-year-old kids.
Right. You said, so instead of Jim Nantz saying, hello, friends, I said, did he go, what up, peeps? And you go, no, something from this century.
Yeah, say, that's fair.
Hey, okay, yeah. So you say, hey, fam, what else would it be?
Well, that would be good if we get a time machine back to 2013.
Then come up with what did he actually say? I don't know.
I don't know.
What's hello, friends, for Gen Z?
I am weak, Tony.
I can already feel the aura. L's in the chat for anyone who's not watching. What does that mean?
But Manny, in real life, you're the youngest person on the show, you and EJ. What's Gen Z hello friends?
What it do? What's up? I don't know. It's just hey.
Thanks for nothing, hey. Manny.
Facts, Jimbo.
That one I know.
What it do?
Loki.
What is you
fire?
What is okay? I'm here in big trouble. I'm gonna get in big trouble. And if something dirty, I totally apologize.
Hey, the dunk one, oh,
actually, yes.
Don't spell anything, Pearl.
Everyone be quiet. Shh.
Well, what's the deal with demure? Like, that's like a big, big word.
You're right. No, you're right. I'm trying to figure
that's not dirty,
that
right?
Out.
No, which is so. Very curtsy, very demure.
Yeah, okay. What is that?
Yeah, demure means understated.
Why are 12-year-olds using it like it's like the number one word? That, like my daughter says it all the time.
It came from like a TikTok.
Yeah.
Demure, very classy.
Very demure app.
Yeah. So that's like it. And then she has all sorts of weird vocab words that come out of nowhere. It's like, and it's like a TikTok word.
Wait, have you thought your daughter was saying some sexual innuendo for
no, no, like, but I know. I saw the New York Times said, like, that's the buzzword of the year, demure.
And facts.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Low-key fire.
Yeah. Whenever the New York Times gets to their list of new words, you know that that is at least 3 years past due. What a peeps is definitely. when I was like, hey, that new jacket you got, EJ, that's da bomb.
Hello, friends.
Wait, what game are Nance and Romo calling this weekend? I'm assuming, Steelers-Raven? Steelers.
They get one of the Saturday. Ravens. Yeah.
No, the Saturday games are on ESPN.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that's actually a massive W.
This is actually Denver Chiefs, maybe?
I think that's actually right. I think I heard somebody in the newsroom complaining about that yesterday.
This was a playoff commercial, though. I saw the actual commercial run. They have a version of this that's not just the video. It's facts. Pretty funny.
Broncos Chiefs, by the way.
If he does start the broadcast with, what it do? I'll give endless props to Jim Nance for the rest of the time.
This game is going to be far from mid.
Unlike the Sixers' big three.
Facts.
The mid three.
All right, folks, headlines.
Oh, great. Headlines are sponsored by GoodRx. For simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app. None of the five conference champs reached the CFP Final Four, with Georgia losing to Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl yesterday, 23-10. The Bulldogs making it teams with first-round byes 0-4, but Irish head coach Marcus Freeman doesn't believe playing in round one was an advantage.
The first game had nothing to do with this game. It was the preparation that they put into this week in this game and the performance that they put on.
Freeman's team was locked in a 3-3 battle until the final moments of the second quarter, Notre Dame kicking a field goal, then a strip sack of Georgia replacement QB Gunnar Stockton, which led to this.
Shotgun for Leonard. Takes the snap. Play fake. Looking. Firing. End zone. Touchdown. Bo Collins makes the catch. And Notre Dame extends the lead. 27 seconds left. And the defense gets it paid off by the offense.
That's from Notre Dame radio. The Irish weren't done either, returning the second half kickoff 97 yards for points, giving them 17 points over 54 seconds of game time. All of a sudden, it was 23. It ended 23-10. Notre Dame getting its first major bowl win since the 94 Cotton Bowl. Up next is Penn State in Miami on Thursday night. The Georgia season, meanwhile, ends just 62 rushing yards, 2 for 15 on third and fourth downs. There was another bowl game yesterday, the Gator Bowl, shifting to an 8 Eastern kickoff to accommodate the delayed Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss put a 52-20 thumping on Duke in Jacksonville. Rebs QB Jackson Dart ending his college career with 404 yards and 4 scores. Yesterday, the Jets interviewed Ron Rivera for their head coaching job and Lewis Riddick for their GM vacancy. Today, Mike Vrabel gets a chat about Robert Saleh's old job. No matter how big or small that Sixers 3 is, it did not matter last night in San Francisco.
Curry waits, pulls up, heat check, bank it in! The Bank of San Francisco has nighttime hours. It's 89-68 Warriors.
Waka waka, Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Curry with 30, hitting all 8 threes he took for a 139-105 decision. The Sixers losing for the second straight night, despite having Embiid, George, and Maxey on the floor together. The Thunder won their team record 13th in a row, 116-98 over the Clippers. Max Christie, a career-high 28, as the Lakers down the Blazers, 114-106. And Jason Tatum scored 33 in the Celtics' 118-115 win in Minnesota. Men's number 20, Purdue, an 81-61 win at Minnesota. Braden Smith, 20 points, 10 assists. And the New York Rangers got their first home win since December 6th, 2-1. Over the Bruins. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up next, Nick Kostos is going to join us from You Better You Bet. Let's make some money this weekend, y'all. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Got a couple poll questions that you can vote on at Maggie and Pearl on X. First one, is Notre Dame football now likable? Holding strong, 56% of you now say yes, Notre Dame football is likable. For a long time, Notre Dame was really either love them or love to root against them.
Yeah.
Can Notre Dame win the national title? 66% are saying yes, they can win the national title. Did we also do the should that guy have been scapegoated last night? The Parker Jones, a walk-on that you certainly do not need to know, interfered with the referee yesterday as Georgia had one of its biggest explosive plays of the game. Georgia lost, by the way. Notre Dame wins. They go on to the Final Four, Perloff. But should they have come back around to put the camera on him at the end of the game when his gaffe happened early in the second quarter?
Do you think it'd be good for college football if Notre Dame wins like the title, like 19-12 in a game like this, or like the Arizona State Texas game, like if it's a, you know, special team fumble fest, like do they need somebody to play some offense here? If Notre Dame wins a national title, like 19-14, which is how they win, is that going to be like, I don't know, is that going to feel a little flat, or is it just Notre Dame's brand so big? I just feel like the quality of football in the college football playoff obviously has not been great. And I wonder, like, if anybody cares, or has it all been, like, good?
I think Notre Dame's brand is so big that it probably transcends. Any win would probably be considered landmark. I mean, listen, we're old enough to remember a national championship between Alabama and LSU. I think the final score was 6-3, wasn't it, or 9-6? That was supposed to be the game of the century.
Yeah, and then the sport was saved by the spread.
Let's get to our buddy Nick Kostos, the host of You Better You Bet. Nick, happy new year. I can't imagine you're a big resolution guy.
Well, no. You know, you try and live your life a certain way all the time. So you don't need a resolution when the new year starts. I believe in that LSU-Alabama game. LSU, I don't think, crossed midfield once in that game against Alabama, the game that you guys were just referencing, or maybe one time. Yeah. Not the best college football game ever.
It's like we act like this year, because there's been blowouts, is the first time that, you know, college football has ever disappointed us. And to be honest, I actually think that it's... Listen, some of the games have not been that awesome. Texas Arizona State was fantastic, in my opinion. Yep. Super exciting. But this is sports. You can't, it's unscripted for a reason. You never know. And listen, Georgia wasn't the typical Georgia this year. What did we expect?
Yeah, and I think with the way the games are lining up in the next round, I think both games have the potential to be really good. Now, Ohio State's a pretty big favorite over Texas, I think deservedly so, but I think reasonable minds can disagree. I like Ohio State in the game, but, I mean, why can't Texas keep that game close with the quality of Texas's defense? And then the Notre Dame-Penn State point spread, Notre Dame a 1.5-point favorite in that game. Betting market says the game's going to be close, and maybe the game would have been closer last night with Georgia and Notre Dame if Carson Beck had played, but I do think this is setting up for potentially a really nice end to the college football season. But look, Maggie, I agree with you 100%. Like you said, this is just sports. It happens sometimes. I don't look at this as any large-scale referendum. Like, oh, well, now we need to change things. If I were to change things, I would say we need more teams.
Mm.
I want more games.
Yeah.
Well, more fun, more things to watch, more things to bet on.
But they are going to change. They're definitely going to change the seating. Like that Boise State and Arizona State being 3-4, that's not going to happen again. And here's the question that everyone's talking about. Is the bye a problem? Because all the teams with the extra times came out totally flat.
Yeah. Well,
maybe. Maybe. I mean, it's 1 year, so it's kind of difficult to say, like, with certainty that this is going to be a thing moving forward. But, I mean, I don't think it's great. Also, you know, if you're Oregon, I think there's a strong case to be made if you're the Ducks that there has never been a one seed in the history of one seeds in anything in life has gotten jobbed worse than Oregon did, having to play like the best team in the country in their first game. So, I mean, maybe if you change the way seeding works and you get some of these curtain jerking jabroni teams that play in the first round as opposed to getting a bye, then maybe it makes it easier for the teams with a bye to be able to advance. But I think we are way too early in this process to declare the bye a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Now, this happens another 5 years in a row, maybe you can say that.
Or that, like, it's broken already. It's like, we barely know what's going on. Nick Kostos is the host of You Better You Bet. All right, from the betting angles on this, Nick, early look ahead. So you like Ohio State, you said you would lay the 6, at least I'm seeing 6 right now, and you like who in Notre Dame, Penn State? I'm seeing 1.5, convert, and also how else would you bet these two games if you're betting them?
Yeah, I think Ohio State's going to win the national championship, and I don't even know, I guess people could make a case for somebody else. I don't really know like what the case would be. I will give a really, really nerdy analogy here. I'm a massive nerd. It's a nerdy analogy. Ohio State, to me, feels like Keanu Reeves at the end of The Matrix, and now he knows he's Neo. And he sees everything in code, and he just destroys everybody. It's like it took Ohio State losing to Michigan for Chip Kelly and Ryan Day to realize, no, we're actually Neo. We're the best team. We're going to start playing like it, and we're going to start coaching like it. I mean, I don't think we can discount what Ohio State's done in these first two college football playoff games. Tennessee does not stink at all. Tennessee's an awesome team. Ohio State obliterated them and then absolutely eviscerated Oregon, which was the consensus number one team in the country in the Rose Bowl. So that's back-to-back data points of not just beating good teams, beating the brakes off of good teams. And now here comes Texas, who, and you know, I'll say this, I do think Texas is back. Shout out to Sam Ehlinger. They've made the Final Four in consecutive years. Like, you can't bag on Texas and say Texas isn't back. But, I mean, should have lost to Arizona State, or at the very least, there was no reason for the game to be as close as it was. Mere terrible defensive play call on 4th and 13, or Arizona State's the sacrificial lamb for Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. I have a hard time thinking that that Texas is going to keep this game within shouting distance. I do like Ohio State, and I'm going to end up betting Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl against Penn State. I think Notre Dame is flat out better. I still have questions about James Franklin. I mean, you want to talk about Penn State, like, compare and contrast Penn State's pass with Oregon. Penn State, a double bye to the semifinal, SMU and Boise State. And, you know, I've bagged on Marcus Freeman, guys, for a long time. Marcus Freeman coached Kirby Smart under the table last night. Super impressive. I think Notre Dame wins against Penn State. Ohio State wins against Texas. And we get Ohio State, Notre Dame, and what should be a pretty awesome national title game. And I'll take the Buckeyes.
You know, I don't think you need to be Neo to figure out to throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith. Did you look back like me and say, like, how did Ohio State not do this against Michigan? And like Maggie brought up earlier in the show, do you think that it's possible that Ohio State could lay an egg again? Like, because you never know in college football. Is it possible that Chip Kelly and Ryan Day just lose their mind again and run the ball into the line or something?
So is it possible? Like, yeah, like all things are possible. Yeah. I would say that it's unlikely. And in betting, you deal with probabilities, yeah, right? I would say that the probability is that they are not going to be totally brain dead moving forward. But, you know, like to your point, we did see it happen against Michigan. And maybe that's just you outsmart yourselves a little bit. You want to prove a point. Now there are no more points to prove. Like, the point to prove now is that you're the best team. I think they do that. It is worth noting that this spread touched 7 at open after the Rose Bowl, and that was where there was some resistance towards Texas. So this is not like Ohio State's going to get bet into oblivion here. There are going to be people that are going to support Texas in the betting market. I do think Ohio State wins by 7 or more. I feel very confident in Ohio State also winning the game.
What about the under Notre Dame Penn State?
So where are we at right now? Yeah. Where's that been bet to at this point? Let me just want to give you an updated number because I haven't checked since early this morning. So we are at 46.5. Yeah, like it feels like the total's a little bit bigger than you would think, right?
It feels like that game will be played in a phone booth, as they say.
Yeah, which kind of, you know, I don't really have a strong opinion there. I do think that Notre Dame potentially has a quarterback problem. Now, it may not matter because the team's really good. But, I mean, Penn State does have the better quarterback in this game with Aller versus Riley Leonard. Just that I think Notre Dame's team is better than Penn State's team. Now, maybe Notre Dame runs it down Penn State's throat in a way that Boise State couldn't. I would bet the under if I had to bet it right now with Notre Dame and Penn State. I think this is like a, you know, 23-16 type win for Notre Dame.
Nick Kostos is the host of You Better You Bet. He joins us every Friday. Let's get to the NFL, Nick, and let's start with the most important game of the weekend, and that's for the number one seed in the NFC. It's the Vikings and the Lions. Detroit, a 2.5-point favorite at home is what I'm seeing, total at 55.5. How do you bet this game?
Yeah, so I think 2.5 is the right point spread of the game. If anyone's wondering, well, what's the difference 2.5 and 3? Well, it's a huge difference. Lions by 3 is probably the most likely outcome. So if you like Minnesota, please bet +3. If you like Detroit, lay -2.5. I like Detroit in the game, but I acknowledged on Tuesday on my show that I am biased because I'm obsessed with Dan Campbell. And I know Perloff, who is, kind of, Perloff's got the pocket protector, pencil neck geek and all that. He's a ham and egger. He doesn't like Dan Campbell. He wants to take the points. He wants to send out the punting unit. That's what he wants to sit the starters, I'm sure. That's what Perloff wants to do.
I don't want love me, though. Fake stumble. Don't give me a fake stumble, Nick.
I love me some Dan Campbell. So I am biased towards the Lions. The thing that scares me, and should scare anyone that likes the Lions in this game, and the Lions to get to or win the Super Bowl, The pass defense is as bad as you could possibly imagine. So I think the Lions know what their avenue to victory is, and they've kind of telegraphed that. They've shown you the last couple of weeks. They are not winning games, guys, in a phone booth. Like, they can't win 17-14. They can't. If they score 17 points, they lose because they are giving up more than 17. So I ask myself, and I would encourage you guys to ask yourself this question, listeners, viewers, what's the minimum number of points the Vikings score in this game on the Lions? What's the minimum number that Minnesota scores?
24?
Yeah, 27, 24, something like that.
Ooh, I would, yeah, it's only a field goal difference. I would lean more with 27 than 24. So then you need to, you're going to need the Lions to score 30 points in this game, minimum, to win the game. Now, are they capable of doing that? Definitely. And we've seen Ben Johnson has kind of outsmarted Brian Flores in a lot of these head-to-head matchups. So here's where the game's going to be won or lost, and it's what makes it a difficult game to bet. Because we know Dan Campbell's going to have a couple of these aggressive decisions, right? They're going to go for it on some fourth downs. They're going to go for it on fourth and goal in lieu of kicking a field goal. If they score touchdowns, the game's going to go over the total, and they're going to win. If they don't get them, the game's probably going to go under the total, and the Vikings are going to win. So that's why I think three is a valuable bet with Minnesota. My rooting interest, candidly, this is not a betting take. I love Detroit. I love Dan Campbell. I want the Lions to win as a fan. So I think the Lions are going to win, but I'm biased. I actually think Minnesota plus three is probably like the best bet to make in the game.
Perfect.
Nick, we're running a little short on time. The incentives in Week 18 has been a big storyline. Like, I'm sure a lot of people are like, oh, I got to bet these incentives. Mike Evans needs 85 yards to get a $3 million bonus, keep his 1,000-yard streak. His over-under for total receiving yards is 99.5 right now. I just looked it up. How do you view these incentives, and will teams feed players who have money on the line?
So we've seen that. The answer to that question is largely yes. This is like anything where, you know, if we are talking about it on a talk show on Friday, then for everyone out there listening and watching, so if we're talking about this on a Friday, don't you think like bettors know? So like all of this stuff, like Perloff, you said it. Yeah. If Mike Evans' receiving yards prop is 99.5, that's, I would say, somewhere in the range of, without knowing the exact answer, but I feel comfortable in the range I'm going to give, 10 to 15 yards higher than it's been in any other game this season. Mm-hmm. So you're paying a premium to make these bets. It doesn't mean the bets can't win, but if you're showing up on Sunday, like this Sunday, to say, oh, well, X running back needs 120 yards to get his, you know, to get $1 million, everybody knows already. It's already been bet. All the value's gone, which again doesn't mean the bet can't win, but just know going in, if you know, chances are other people do also.
Nick, we ask you every week for your upset pick of the week. I know.
There's a lot of them this week, potentially.
What do you got for us?
Okay, you want me to give you a bunch?
Yeah, go ahead. You have a minute.
It's because it's week 18, and week 18 is like the preseason sometimes. So tremendous betting opportunities potentially in these games. So a couple potential upset picks. Let's go to Jacksonville, Indianapolis, where the Colts are dead team walking. If you played for the Colts and you still have a pulse and you no longer play for them, you have insulted them in some way this week or have gone on record or off record insulting them to the media. Because that is a rudderless team. Shane Steichen's a clown. Chris Ballard's a terrible GM. Maybe they win. I'll bet against them. I'll bet the Jaguars just to win the game. Jacksonville to win on the road in Indianapolis. Let's also go to, I mean, the Texans are plus 100 on the money line at the Titans when D'Amico Ryans has said the starters are going to play for some period of time. And then Davis Mills comes in. He's not a terrible backup. Houston to win on the road at Tennessee. That's even money right now at BetMGM. San Francisco is starting Josh Dobbs on Sunday, not Brandon Allen. Josh Dobbs is very competent. We saw that last year. Like, Arizona circling the drain with Kyler Murray as the franchise quarterback. Why can't the Niners win? San Francisco plus 165. I'll take Kansas City plus 400 to beat Denver. Denver's a 10.5-point favorite. Carson Wentz is not, he's not great. He's not bad. Last year in week 18 for the Rams, he outdueled a quarterback everybody might have heard of named Sam Darnold from the San Francisco 49ers. So Nick, Chiefs plus 10.5.
That's where we got to leave it. You're the best. Thank you so much. You want to give your spiel?
Yeah, sorry. I went over the time. I wishing everybody minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck. Happy New Year.